Hello, everyone. Welcome to Basic Gospel, a special Friday teaching edition of Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher, along with Richard Pfeiffer today.
Hello.
And we're going to take a deep dive into my favorite chapter, I think my favorite chapter in the Word of God, and that is Hebrews chapter 10. Oh, is it powerful? And if every believer could really embrace the message that the writer of Hebrews is bringing in this particular chapter, would our lives be so different? Would the church be so radically different and more powerful in its presentation of the good news of Jesus Christ? That's just how wonderful this particular chapter is. When folks ask me to speak at various churches,
chances are they're going to get
that's right. I always want to talk about Hebrews chapter 10. So that's what we're going to do today. So welcome to Basic Gospel. If you have your Bibles, open up those Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. If you have not downloaded the study notes, we have some study notes available at basicgospel.net/teaching. You can just click the download link, and those notes will be there for you, and you can follow along as we go through this particular chapter. So we're actually going to start in Hebrews chapter 9, finish up that particular chapter that we did last week, and we're going to move all the way through verse 18 of Hebrews chapter 10 today. So this is just a powerful section, and I would just encourage you to read it, to reread it. If you can memorize some of this, commit this to memory, because it's just that good. So let's get started. Richard, are you ready?
I think so.
Okay, so in verse 9, starting in verse 23, we read this: "Thus it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites." So he's talking about the tabernacle and the temple and the sacrifices of old. And then he says, "But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these." So what in the world is he talking about? What are the heavenly things? Well, I don't think we have to really scratch our heads very long to find an answer, because he's already talked about the fact that the blood of Jesus Christ is going to cleanse our consciences from dead works to serve a living God. So what needed to be cleansed? Well, you and I needed to be cleansed. We're the ones that God is going to set apart for his dwelling place. So we individually are going to be the dwelling place of God, Christ in you, your hope of glory. And then we corporately, as a body of believers, are going to become the very temple of God, the dwelling place of God. So we were the ones that needed to be cleansed. And Jesus Christ went into the heavenlies to offer his blood once and for all to cleanse us.
Yes.
Not just to cleanse us temporarily, not just to give us a reprieve, but to cleanse us forever. So when Jesus does the cleansing, that's an eternal cleansing.
Yes.
Our consciences have been cleansed once and for all. "For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands," that's the tabernacle or the temple, "which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf." Now, that's pretty powerful.
Sure
is. He appeared in the presence of God on our behalf. "Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood not his own. For then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world." So those sacrifices of old, they were repeated year after year after year. Jesus' sacrifice is unrepeatable.
Yes.
It was of such significance, of such value, of such worth, that it only had to be done once, never to be repeated again in human history. So he died 2,000 years ago, one time, to take away all sin. And that's what it says. "But as it is, he appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." So did Jesus put away sin?
Yes.
Absolutely. There is no question. He put it away once and for all. "And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment." So how many times are we going to die, this body? One time. And what happens once physical death occurs? Judgment comes. So we're either going to be judged and receive eternal life. That's one judgment. Or the other judgment is eternal death. Those are the only two options. So those of us who have partaken of Christ, who have received Christ once and for all, our judgment is eternal life. And that's why we can look forward to that day. We don't have to fear death. That fear of death has been done away with. Why? Because we know that our judgment is going to be positive. It's going to be eternal life. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, he did that, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. So when Christ comes back, he's not going to deal with sin at all. He's simply going to bring salvation to those of us who are awaiting him. What does that mean? It means that we're going to be with him forever. We're going to be in his presence forever. That's the salvation that we're awaiting. He's in our presence today because he has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. But we're still living life in this world where there's going to be a time when he returns that we're going to be in his presence forever. That's the salvation that he's going to bring to us. So when Christ comes again, is he going to bear sin? Is he going to die again? Absolutely not. Why? Because the sacrifice that he made 2,000 years ago is unrepeatable. It was of such significance, of such worth, that it took away our sins, your sins, once and for all. And that's such good news, isn't it?
Oh, I mean, stop and think about what is written here. I mean, he put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He's not going to offer himself for sin ever again. Instead, he's going to bring us himself and we'll be face to face. That is power. And for him to do that is beyond imagination. We cannot enter into how that worked. But God, before the foundation of the world, had this plan in place, executed this plan, and we are the happy recipients of the benefits of this plan.
That's right.
And here they are. We're going to be saved face to face, not just saved with the Spirit. And there is, we shouldn't even be talking about sin in the context of our daily walk with Jesus Christ. We should only be talking about by grace through faith. Leave the behavior alone, because Jesus dealt with all that stuff once and for all. Let's come to him and let him do what only he can do.
And he's etched his new life of faith, hope, and love into
Absolutely.
Our hearts and in our minds. If we would just learn to trust Jesus, everything would flow from there.
Yes.
That's what this story is all about. So the sacrifice was made. It's unrepeatable. Now we need to rest in that.
Yeah.
We need to accept that and recognize that we are forgiven people. Now, for me, for so long, I offered up all kinds of sacrifices. Now, they weren't blood sacrifices. They were apologies. They were promises. They were oaths, all kinds of things to say to God, I'll do better next time. You know, I'm definitely going to overcome this particular sin in my life. So please forgive me again. Well, I'm offering up something in order to get God to forgive me. And he's saying, hey, I sent Jesus. He condemned sin in your flesh once and for all. And my gift to you is the forgiveness that is wrapped up in him. Yeah. So when you receive Jesus, you receive forgiveness. There's no other sacrifice that needs to be made, because Jesus' sacrifice was sufficient for all time, for all sin, which means every one of your sins have already been dealt with by God.
Yes.
And talk about good news. That is good news. And if people will just grab hold of that truth, I guarantee you their lives will be different, radically different. Their relationship with God will be exactly what God has drawn it up to be.
Yes.
Well, you are listening to Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher. Richard Pfeiffer is here. We are so glad that you have joined us for this wonderful study through the book of Hebrews. We are in Hebrews chapter 10 today. And just as a reminder, Basic Gospel is listener-supported radio. We rely on contributions from people just like you to help us deliver this good news through radio and through every other medium that we use, social media platforms and all of that to help connect people to the love of Christ. So we ask you to join with us, to partner with us, to deliver this good news to as many people as we possibly can. You can do so by going to basicgospel.net, clicking on the donate button, and just following the instructions there. And we have a wonderful resource for you this month to say thank you. It is my CD series called Resurrection Power. And it's a CD series that will enable you to really tap into the power of the resurrection in your day-to-day living. So that's available at basicgospel.net, or you can call 844-322-2742 and request your copy of Resurrection Power today. So let's jump back in, Hebrews chapter 10. For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come instead of the true form of these realities. So how does the writer of Hebrews describe the law?
As a shadow.
As a shadow. So it's foreshadowing a reality that was to come later. Well, that reality is here in the person of Christ Jesus. So a shadow has no substance to it, and correct, therefore it can't really do anything of significance for us. That has to be done by the real thing himself, and that's Jesus Christ. So he says it can never, this shadow, this law, can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. So that's what our hope is to be made perfect, to be made complete, to be made whole, to be delivered to that place that God has set aside for us. But the law can't do that. Correct. It can't make us righteous. It can't give us life. It can't set us apart. It can't do any of those things. That's the job of Jesus alone. So the law can't make us perfect. It can't make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they have not ceased to be offered, since the worshipers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sin. So those sacrifices were an annual reminder of sins. They kept sin at the forefront of the people's minds. And so they knew that they were unclean in God's sight. And therefore, they kept offering those sacrifices. But not the sacrifice of Jesus. He cleansed us once and for all. That's why it's not necessary to repeat. It did its job.
Yeah.
His blood cleansed us just like it was supposed to do.
Yeah, if you follow this argument, it's really quite simple. When you're trying to be a legalist and trying to use the law to earn something or to maintain something or whatever, it gets very convoluted. If you follow this logic, the law did what it could, but it couldn't do this.
Right.
Only Jesus could. It just opens up. And why wouldn't I accept Jesus? Why would I stay back here in the complicated stuff? Let's go with Jesus.
Let's go with Jesus. Let's go with the cleansing that he's given us through his sacrifice on the cross. It says in verse 3, these sacrifices are a reminder of sins every year, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins.
Yeah.
So we have to recognize that. So blood of bulls and goats or any other animal isn't sufficient enough to take away our sins. Neither are our sacrifices, our religious dead works and our confessions and all of those things that we try to offer up to God to take away our sins. It just doesn't work. We needed the blood of Jesus Christ. So consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me, and burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. So God prepared a body for Jesus in the incarnation, in that first Christmas. Jesus inhabited that body, and that body was set aside to be an offering. And so he was going to offer that body to take away our sins. And that was the will of the Father.
Yes.
So Jesus came to do the will of his Father. And so he said, you have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings. These are offered according to the law. And then he added, behold, I have come to do your will. So why did Jesus come? Why
did God's will.
To do God's will. And do you think Jesus carried out the will of his Father?
Yes.
Absolutely. In perfection. He carried out every single detail. And here's what he did. He abolished the first. So what was the will of the Father? To abolish the first covenant, to fulfill it, to bring it to its completion. And that's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus Christ is the end of the law
yes.
for everyone who believes. So he's abolished the first in order to establish the second. So he fulfilled the first covenant in order to bring in the new covenant. And then it says, and by that will, the will of God the Father, we have been sanctified or made holy through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. So what was the will of the Father? To make us holy, to set us apart, to sanctify us. How was that accomplished? Through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So today, if you're a believer in Christ Jesus, how holy are you? Well, you're as holy as God has made you.
Yes.
And that's pretty holy. You're not going to get more holy than what you are right now.
Uh-huh.
Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ has made you holy. So it sets you apart for God's use. The law couldn't do that. The law was limited. The law could not make you holy. But the blood of Jesus made you holy once and for all through the body of Jesus Christ. Now, every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But they kept doing it because the law prescribed it. That's what the law dictated. So they followed the written law, and they offered these sacrifices. But those sacrifices could never take away sins. I mean, we needed something of more value. The blood of bulls and goats just didn't have the value required to take away our sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. So he finished his work. It's his sacrifices. His sacrifice was sufficient. He didn't need to do it time and time and time and time again. So when he offered himself once and for all, he sat down at the right hand of God. Now, a chair was a prohibited piece of furniture yeah. in the temple and in the tabernacle. The priest could never sit down. Why? Because their job was never finished. But Jesus sat down because his job was finished. He took away our sins. So folks, if you're listening and listening intently, this is what it means for you. Every single sin that you've ever committed, every single sin that you will ever commit, Jesus Christ has already dealt with it.
Mm-hmm.
He already has judged it. He's already taken the punishment for it. There's nothing left for you. And God the Father accepted his sacrifice on your behalf. That's good news. That is such good news. So what does that mean? In Christ, you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You are a forgiven person.
Yeah.
That's what it means that Christ sat down. He's given you his righteousness. He's given you all the forgiveness you could ever need. You are a forgiven person.
Yeah. Look at this in the context of the Day of Atonement. Only the high priest could go into the most holy place. Never. I mean, there's the mercy seat. It's called
yes.
the seat. If he had sat down on that mercy seat, he would have been killed.
Yes.
Instead, the most he could do in approaching it was sprinkle a little blood on it. Here, we've got the high priest, the true high priest in this new order, who goes in and sits down, and then, as we've already studied, invites us in to sit
yes.
down.
Yes.
If you are beating yourself up and begging for forgiveness day after day after day and tying into the guilt, please stop. Go in and sit down with Jesus and let him do what only he can do.
Right. And as a matter of fact, Paul talks about that in his great passage on salvation, the fact that we have been saved by grace through faith in Jesus. Well, what does that mean? It means that we've been made alive together with Christ and that we are now seated with Christ in the heavenlies. So what is the proper position that we are to have with Jesus? We're to be seated just as he is seated.
Yes.
We're to rest from our works just as he has rested from his work. That's how this relationship with Jesus begins, in the seated position with him. Wow, what good news. Boy, there's so many Christians out there standing up. They're working feverishly. They're running with every ounce of fleshly strength they can muster in order to try to get into God's good graces. And God is saying, in Jesus, you're there. Rest.
Yes.
Sit down with him. So he's seated at the right hand of God the Father, waiting for that time when his enemy should be made his footstool. Now listen to this. For by a single offering, that one offering he made 2,000 years ago, he has perfected for all time those who are the holy ones. That's what Jesus has done. So the law could not make us perfect. Jesus did. So if you're a perfectionist, you're trying to get everything right. You're trying to dot every I, cross every T as far as the Christian life is concerned. Relax. Jesus has already perfected you. For how long? Forever. Now, what does that mean? That you are going to live in sinless perfection? No, that's not what that means. What it means is that God has delivered you exactly to where he wanted to deliver you, and that was in Christ. He wanted to take you out of this world of darkness and place you into Christ. He wanted to send the Holy Spirit to take up residence in you so that you could be complete and whole in Jesus. Well, that's where you are. You're right dab in the center of God's will that Jesus accomplished for you. You've been perfected. You've been delivered to that goal.
Yes.
That is good news. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. So we have the witness of the Word. We have the witness of Jesus. Now we have the witness of the Holy Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit say to us? That this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. So he is given us the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And we have this life inside of us now. And then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. He remembered them 2,000 years ago. Jesus remembered every single one. And he said to God the Father, I will gladly die for each and every one. I will take in myself the punishment for every single sin. So they were remembered, they were condemned, they were judged, they were punished. And now that that's been done, and God the Father has accepted that and received that sacrifice, then he remembers them no more. We may be dredging up all those sins, and we may be bringing them before God, but God is saying to us, I remember them no more. And then he goes on to add this, and where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. In the old covenant, there was a place for sin offerings.
Yep.
It was prescribed. It was expected. Every year, the Day of Atonement, there was sacrifice. Every day, there were other sacrifices that were made. But in this new covenant, there is no place for a sacrifice for sins. There is no longer an offering for sin. Why? Because Jesus' death on the cross was enough. Now let me ask the question. Is Jesus' sacrifice on the cross enough for you? Today, are you going to rest in his finished work and say thank you to God for the forgiveness that you have in Christ? When you do, it will explode the love of God in your heart like never before. Well, thank you so much for joining us for this special edition of Basic Gospel through the book of Hebrews chapter 10. We'll be back on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We pray that you have a great weekend in the Lord Jesus Christ. And for Richard and for the whole ministry team, I'm Bob Christopher saying so long from Lewisville, Texas.